Amen. This morning I want to talk about when God goes to war. When God goes to war. And we're going to be reading from Judges chapter 4, verses 13 through 15. So Sisera gathered together all his chariots. Sisera was the general for Jabin, the king of Canaan. And Sisera gathered together all his chariots, 900 chariots of iron, and all the people who were with him. So he assembled all of his armies, the armies of the king of Jabin, the king of Canaan. And he assembled his 900 chariots of iron. And then Deborah said to Barak, up. Hallelujah. Get up. Amen. I want you to hear that. I almost called this message, get up. Get up. For this is the day in which the Lord has delivered Sisera in your hand. Has not the Lord gone out before you? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him, and the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and all his army with the edge of the sword before Barak. And Syria alighted from his chariot, and he fled away on foot. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much, and we thank you, God, for your awesome presence. Here these last weeks, Lord, you are doing such a mighty thing. You are a mighty God doing mighty things in the midst of your people. We have prayed and longed to see the hand of God. Lord, I believe with all of my heart, you are rising up in this hour to go to war. And you are calling on us to ready ourselves, to prepare ourselves for battle. And so, God, I pray that you stir us this morning. Stir your church. Stir your people. Inspire us, Lord, to the battle. Inspire us, Lord, to the cause. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when David was sent by his father to go out to where his brothers were fighting the Philistines in battle, and remember what happened when David got there, everybody was hiding. There was a battle presented to them. The champion of the Philistines, a mighty man of valor and war by the name of Goliath. And history tells us that Goliath was somewhere around 9-10 feet tall. This man was huge. And it's hard to blame anybody from hiding behind a bush and not wanting to run down and fight this guy, right? And everybody was hiding, and David came and he saw them hiding. And I love what David said. David said, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause that we can be stirred to battle? We have a reason to fight. And I want us to hear that in our spirit this morning, church. Is there not a cause when God goes to war? Let me tell you the background of this story. The children of Israel had been under the oppression of the Canaanites and Jabin, the king of Canaan, for 20 years. 20 years they were oppressed. In fact, the word of God says that they actually had them cutting trees. They were being woodcutters and making wood and doing things for them, for the Canaanites. They were basically had turned them into slaves. And for 20 years they were under this oppression. Sisera, the mighty general of Jabin with his 900 chariots of iron, was such a fearsome force that nobody would rise up against them. Like David's brothers and others, they were hiding out of fear. And nobody would rise up and take up the cause. God looked down, if you read all this story, God looked down and he saw the oppression of his people. And I like this because God began to stir himself. Folks, I believe God is stirring himself. I believe there's a battle before us, and I believe the Lord is stirring himself for battle. I believe God is preparing for battle. We are in the last day, and we know that the cross, the battle was won, amen, and that it is finished and the work is done, and we need to know that. We need to understand that, but we are called in this day, in this hour, to stand with those weapons that have been provided for us. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And we wrestle not against flesh and blood and against against principalities and powers and wickedness in high places. We are engaged in a spiritual battle. The world is not my enemy. The people of the world are not my enemy. God died so that all people could be brought into the kingdom. Amen? Hallelujah. So we are engaged in a spiritual conflict. And God is rising and stirring himself for that battle. And he's calling us to his side. And so God stirred himself on behalf of Israel and a woman by the name of Deborah. This was the first Wonder Woman. Okay? Deborah is Wonder Woman. I remember when I first saw that Wonder Woman movie, I remember thinking, that's Deborah. And the young lady that plays Wonder Woman is Jewish. She's an Israeli. And I said, that's Deborah. Deborah was a mother. She was a wife. She was a poetess. She wrote beautiful poetry. She was a warrior. She was a judge and leader in Israel. And she was a prophetess. This was quite a woman. This was a mighty woman of God. And when God began to stir himself and God began to get ready for battle, he started working through Deborah. And all the men of Israel were standing on the sidelines. Everybody was just kind of letting this oppression happen without doing anything about it. And God rose up through Deborah. And God let Deborah know, I'm ready to go to war, Deborah. I'm ready to go to war. And you go tell Barak. You find those men of valor in Israel and you let them know that God is ready. So Deborah, moved by the Spirit of God, went to these mighty men of war like Barak. And she went and told him that God has moved on me and God has given me a plan and God has given me a strategy how we can break the stronghold of Sisera and destroy the 900 chariots of iron. And Barak listened to her and he said, I'm with you. I'm ready to go. And her speech and her prophecy and everything that she shared with him stirred him up and he rose up. But he told her, I'm not going unless you go with me. She said, well, if I go with you, you won't get the credit for it. A woman will get the credit. He was like, I'm good with that. Let's do what God's telling us to do. And so they went to the battle. And it says in the fifth chapter of Judges, some interesting things begin to happen. And I want you to look at what happens when God goes to war. The Bible says in verse 2 of chapter 5, that when the people of Israel went to war, it says the people offered themselves to God. When Barak rose up, stirred by the words of Deborah, guys, you know, we're often challenged by our wives, you know, the women that God's put, you know, they are moms, and the women that God puts in our lives, sometimes they stir us up, and that's not a bad thing. And Deborah, with her words, stirred up Barak. When Barak got stirred up, and he decided that he would go fight, and that he would gather his men. He was able to gather 10,000 men. The Bible says that the people of Israel, it stirred the people of Israel. And 10,000 men came to battle. And what that means is, he says, the people offered themselves. Folks, listen to me. God is rising up for war. Me and you, we cannot sit on the sidelines. We can't just stand by while a battle is being raged for the souls of men and the souls of eternity. God came to save this world. God came to redeem this world. And there's a battle being raged. And we can't just stand by, amen? We are the church. We are the blood bought. We are the redeemed. And God's called us to get engaged in this battle.
And so the people offered themselves. What I want to challenge you today is to offer yourself to the battle. Offer yourself to the cause. Offer yourself to the purpose of God. And it says in verse 4 that when God went to war, it says the earth began to shake. I like that. The earth began to tremble. The earth began to shake when God went to war. And then it says the clouds poured out water. It began to rain. And it rained so much that the roads and the fields were muddy. And the armies of Sisera and those 900 chariots got bogged down, couldn't even hardly roll. Those 900 mighty chariots of iron were almost unusable because the clouds opened up. And it says not only did the clouds open up, but it says the mountains melted or flowed down, that the earth began to shake, and the obstacles, the things that would have stood in the way of Israel fighting the war. It even says in verse 20 that the stars in the heavens fought. That's probably a reference to a fiery angelic armies that God would dispatch. How many times do we read in the Bible where the angelic armies of God came to the aid of his people? And even David, when he said, when you hear the goings, or that word goings, the marching in the tops of the trees, you'll know that the angelic army is going before you. Or when Elisha's servant eyes were opened and he saw the fiery chariots of God surrounding him. And it even says in verse 21 that the rivers fought for God. They overflowed their banks and got in the way of the enemy. Folks, I want you to know, when heaven declares war, all of creation gets involved. When God goes to war, all of his creation gets involved. All of creation fights for God. We are engaged in a winning battle. We are engaged on the winning side. And that battle has already been won. That battle it's already done. What we have to do, though, is lay claim to what God has already possessed for us. What we have to do is go take it and possess it. It's already ours. God's already given you the victory. God's already given you the victory. But you have to go and take it in the name of Jesus. And you have to rise up and do that. Amen? So we have to get engaged. We have to go to war. God is declaring war this morning. I feel that in my spirit. As we were worshiping and I was thinking about this word, I just know that God is declaring war and that he's ready to go to battle against that enemy. And folks, God's never lost a battle. God's never lost a battle. And so God is declaring war. He has declared war against sin, and he defeated it at the cross. He has declared war against every demonic power. He has declared war against abortion and the murder of the innocent. He has declared war against injustice and unrighteousness. He has declared war against the immorality of this age. He has declared war against sickness and disease. He has declared war against shame and condemnation. He has declared war against worry and fear. And all of these things that we fight in our lives, they are the enemies of God. And God is declaring war against them. And when God is fighting these battles, even creation, when God is fighting, creation will not stand idly by. And neither can we. We can't just stand by while God is going to war against these things. You tired of the oppression in your life? You're tired of the enemy coming against you the way Jabin did the children of Israel? I'm tired of the oppression. I want you to hear this. Just as Deborah rose up and challenged those men and told them, guys, how long are you just going to sit on the sidelines? How long are you just going to watch? When are you going to get engaged? When are you going to get involved? And folks, there's a war going on that God is calling us to get involved in. God is calling this church. God is calling his church. God is calling the people of God to rise up. The church has been absent. The church has not been doing its duty. The church has not been fulfilling its call. Amen? We can agree with that. But I'm talking this morning to Grace Covenant Church, and I'm challenging Grace Covenant Church to rise up and do its part in the battle, that we fulfill our call in the kingdom, and that we do our part in the kingdom, and that we not just sit on the sidelines. Amen? 5:23 of Judges says, Meroz was cursed because they stood idly by while others fought. When Deborah called the children of Israel to battle,
There were some that were cowardly. There were some that were afraid. There were some that didn't think they had the time. There were some that had excuses. And Merah's was cursed, it says, because they stood idly by while others fought. The Bible says, choose you this day whom you will serve. We cannot sit on the fence. If you're not fighting for God, you're fighting against Him. If you're sitting on the fence, then you're not engaged in the battle. God has called us to get involved. God has called us to use what He has given us. Matthew 12 says, if you're not with me, you are against me. Amen? Folks, how many of you are with Him? I'm with Him today. I'm with Him today. Who is on the Lord's side? Who is on the Lord's side? You know what that means? We cannot be neutral. We can't be neutral in this thing. Everything's at stake. That I'm, as a believer, I'm part of the army of God. Amen? So I tell you, if the earth trembles and the clouds rain and the mountains melt and the stars fight in their courses and the rivers rise up and overflow the enemy, then I, who have been bought with the blood and have been redeemed, I, who have been made a child of God, I, who have been bought with a price, I, who have been made an overcomer, I, who have been made a king and a priest, I, who have been issued first-class battle armor, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the shoes of the gospel of peace, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of the faith, and the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. How can I stand by when all of creation is going to war in the name of God? How can I stand by and not rise up and fight? Amen? Amen. So that God has called us to be involved. In Matthew 25, the servant with one talent was called wicked. And you know why? Because he did nothing. He didn't do anything. He didn't enter the fight. Every one of us in this room. I was thinking about this the other day, my own life. Lord, I do not want to reach the end of my days and feel like I left something on the table. Listen to me, church. I do not want to reach the end of my time on this earth and feel like I wasted it, that I left something out there. You know, football coaches tell their players, you leave everything on the field. You leave everything on the field. Folks, when we walk off the field, I want to know I left everything out there. I don't want to have to hear, you could have done more. I don't want to have to look in his eyes and think that I could have done more when he says, Glenn, did you give me your best? And I have to look down because I didn't. Come on, church. Come on. This is the kingdom of God. This is eternity we're talking about. Eternity. That we can give everything that we have and we can give it all. And we just don't stand by like that servant and do nothing. Every one of us in here has been given a talent. The talent in the Bible that he's talking about was money. It was an investment of money. But all of you have been given gifts from God. Every one of you. And some of you have been given unbelievable gifts. And I know that. You're amazing. But God gave you those gifts for His purposes, for the purposes of the kingdom. Are you using, listen to this, and I'm talking to Glenn too, are you using what God has given you to your maximum potential? Are you maximizing everything God has given you for the purpose of the kingdom? Amen. I'm sticking a big help wanted sign right up here on the platform, in case you haven't noticed. And I'm telling you, the kingdom of God is saying, help wanted. Amen? Help wanted. There's a war raging. And folks, if you don't think the devil ain't doing his part, all of hell has declared war against you and your family and your children and your grandchildren. And what are you doing about it? Because they're doing their part, I promise you. Hell is raging right now. The Bible says that the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church.
And so the help wanted sign that God is saying, I placed in you and I need you. I need you. Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Look, there's plenty of work to do, but there's just not enough workers. We need more workers. I'm going to tell you plainly, we need volunteers. We need people to step up and say, I want to help out. I want to get involved. I want to do my part. And let's get that machine going. And let's get it, let's become. You say, well, Glenn, I'm a nobody. Listen, everybody's a nobody till God makes you a somebody. God took David, a nobody, and made him a warrior king of Israel. God took Moses, a shepherd on the backside of a wilderness, and made him a mighty deliverer. God took a man by the name of Noah, and he built an ark, and he saved the seed of Israel for the salvation of the world. I could go on and on and on and on and on through the Bible of men and women that were nobodies, and God made them somebodies. Hebrews chapter 11, called the Hall of Faith chapter, tells of men and women who became men and women of faith, men and women of renown, and they were nobodies. I don't care who, I'm telling you, there's a room full of somebodies in here. God can take you and make you somebody in the kingdom of God. In Matthew 20, King said to the people, why are you standing here idle? And you know what they said? Because no one hired us. Why are y'all standing around not working? Because nobody hired us. And he said, well, then get in and go to work. And I'll reward you. And he even said, I will reward those. And remember, those that went to work at 8 o'clock that morning got mad because he hired people at 5 o'clock. He hired people at get off time. And when they all stood in line to get paid, those that went to work at 5 o'clock got paid the same thing as those that went to work at 8. Church, it's never too late with God. Well, I haven't been doing this, and I haven't been doing that, and I hadn't been involved, and I had. It don't matter. It don't matter with God if you go to work at 8 or you go to work at noon or you go to work in the middle of the afternoon. The thing is, go to work. Decide at some point in my life. So you didn't do it when you were 18. You didn't do it when you were... It's okay to do it at 50. It's okay to do it at 30 or 40 or wherever you are. But do it. Get engaged. Be faithful. God looks for faithfulness. The Bible says to never despise the day of small things. It's okay to start small. It's okay to start small, but you grow it and you stay faithful with it. And you don't give up. Amen? Amen. And God honors that faithfulness. God will honor that faithfulness. In Mark 14, 8, there's the story of a woman with an alabaster box. And the woman with the alabaster box is a nobody. She's nobody. We don't even know her name. The woman with the alabaster box and a lot of people believe this is the same Mary that washed Jesus' feet, so that may be who this was, but the woman with the alabaster box came and she opened the box and she anointed the feet of Jesus with it, and it was a year's wage. She poured out a year's wage all over the feet of Jesus. Jesus was blown away. He knew what that was. He was blown away. And you know what he said? Now, I want you to listen to this. This nobody is about to become a somebody. I love this. Jesus looked at that woman and said, never. Has anybody ever done me like this with such love and such faith? And he said, this woman, I tell you, this woman will always be remembered. And he marked her down and he immortalized her. And that nobody that day became a somebody. And here's what Jesus said. And if people were standing by and they said, well, why? Here's what Jesus said. Because she did what she could. That's all he said. Because she did what she could. We can't all do the same things. We're not all the same people. You know, we all have different gifts. We all have different talents. I bet we all wish we could play the saxophone like Daniel. Right? But we can't. And that's okay. God made people to do that. But there are things you can do Daniel can't do. You hear me? There are things you can do I can't do. God made you that way. And God wants you to become a somebody. God wants to take you from obscurity. You remember how Jesus noticed the widow's mite? Just the widow's mite. See, you know what keeps us from doing anything in the kingdom? We think, well, I can't preach a great sermon, or I can't hold a revival, or I can't. We think of the great big things. And because we can't do the great big things, we do nothing. And then that prevents us from doing anything. I've got a challenge for you. It's time to go to war. But in the war, little things have to be done. The little things make the big things. We need to start doing the little things. And you need to start doing what you can. You can come to me and say, Glenn, I want to get involved. I want to do what I can. And here's what I'm good at. Here's what I can do. People ask me a lot. They'll say, what is my purpose in life? What is my purpose in the kingdom of God? And you know what I like to do? I ask people this question. Number one, what are you good at? What are you good at? What did God put in you? What did God create in you that you're good at? And the second question is, what do you like to do? What really turns your crank? You know, is it children? It's children? What is it? What is it you like to do? If you can answer those two questions, I can show you your purpose in the kingdom. I can show you what God created you to do. Just what are you good at and what do you like to do? Why? Because the Bible says God put the desires. The Bible says he gives us the desires of our heart. That doesn't mean he gives us the end of those desires. He gives us the beginning of those desires. The desires that I have were birthed by God. He put that want to in me. Amen? He put that want to in me. And he did to you too. Amen. 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 Let's stand together. And I want to ask you a question. You know, when you become saved, you say, I'm going to be a believer in Jesus. He is recruiting you into his army. He is recruiting you into his family. He's making you part of the family of God. And I'm going to tell you right now, and I want everybody to listen to me. Jesus said, if you're not with me, you're against me. If you haven't been born again and you're not a believer, then you are against the Lord. I'm just going to tell you as plainly as I can. If you've not been born again, you're on the wrong side. You're on the wrong side of history. You're on the wrong side of eternity. And I'm just telling you because I love you and I know how much God loves you. I don't want to be on the wrong side of eternity or the wrong side of history. Folks, I've read the end of my Bible and I know who's going to win this thing. Y'all do understand it's not in doubt. Right? This battle we're talking about this morning is not in doubt. And if you're here and you say, Glenn, I want to get into the army of God. I want to know Jesus as my Savior. I don't want to be on the wrong side. I want to be on the right side. Everybody bow your head for just a moment. If you're here and you'd say, Glenn, I want to know Jesus and I want to get on the right side. It costs you nothing. There's no price to pay. He did it all for you. It's free. It's a gift. In fact, accepting Jesus is the one thing I know in life that really is a no-brainer. I don't even know what there is to think about. People, I'm thinking about it. I'm like, okay, but I don't know what you're thinking about. Jesus is offering you eternity for free. That's what his blood did. If you're here and you say, I want to declare that I believe in Jesus and I want to accept him as my Savior. I want to be a follower of Jesus. I want you to put your hand up just so I can see you. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else this morning? Thank you. Anybody else? I have determined I am going to be in the army of God. I am not going to sit on the sidelines. Anybody else? I want you to pray this prayer with me, and I want everybody in the building to pray it. Pray it out loud. Dear Jesus, right now, in Jesus' name, I accept you as my personal Savior. I believe you died for me, and I believe you rose again. And I want to follow you. I want to be your disciple. I want to fight at your side. I know there's a cause of the kingdom, and I want to be there. Thank you for forgiving me of all my wrongs, making me your child. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Now, let's close this way, because I want to talk to us believers. If you're here this morning and you would say with me, and I'm going to tell you right now, I'm the first one up here. Most Sundays, in case y'all don't know, I preach to myself as much as I preach to anybody. Right? A lot of my sermons are born out of what I need. So I'm talking to me because I need it just like you do. I don't preach down to anybody. I never stand up here and it's like, guys, I've got it all figured out and y'all need to get with the program. That's not who I am. I'm telling you, I need to do more in the kingdom because I don't want to leave something on the table. Look sometimes at everything God placed in you and ask yourself an honest question. Have I really used everything God gave me for the kingdom? And if you will say with me this morning, Glenn, I want to take everything I have and I want to give it to Jesus. I mean, we used to sing that, I surrender all, I surrender all. And that used to be a big thing in the church about surrendering. Nobody wants to talk about that anymore. Well, I'm talking about it today. I'm talking about it. Will you? And I'm not talking about your money. I'm talking about you. God wants you. It's real easy sometimes to just do this. You know? Oh, they're here. I can't come and do it, but I can. So, God wants you. And if you'll say, here I am, God, I'm going to enter the battle. When America was attacked at Pearl Harbor, Germany and Japan instantly declared war on the United States of America. The next day, recruiting stations were bombarded all over this country with young people standing in line to sign up and go to war, to fight for a cause, to fight for something that was right, to keep the world from tyranny, bondage. You hear me today? There is a cause. And here's a recruiting station with a help wanted sign out. And I think we ought to get in line. Say, God, here I am. Use me. Use me. If you'll say that with me this morning, I want you to leave your seat and come stand this front. We're going to close in prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know we come around this altar a lot of weeks, and rightfully so, with needs, because that's just who we are. But I don't want you to come today asking God for something. I want you to come to give him something. Amen? Isn't that fitting and proper? That we come to give him something. And we're giving ourselves this morning. Just look around you. Do you realize what this room full of people can do if we make up our minds to do it? Amen? I'm going to say that again. Do you realize what this room of people can do if we make up our minds to do it? Because we've got God with us. And with God, all things are possible. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Even the gates of hell cannot prevail against the blood-bought, redeemed church of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. When God goes to war, all of creation rises up. Creation cannot stand still when God goes to war. How can his blood-bought children stand by when there's a battle being raged? Lift your hands to the Lord. Pray this with me. Dear Jesus, I'm your child, bought with your blood, redeemed by the cross. You bought me. I belong to you. You've placed within me talents and gifts for the kingdom. And I give them to you. And I say, use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. Find a place and I will go there. And I will serve. I will be everything you called me to be. I want to do my part in the battle. And when my years are old, and I've served my days, I want to know I left it all on the field. I did my best. I did my best. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.